Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What are you doing?
Heading home after a work day.
Job well done, sir.
Before I get into my take, I realize one of the reasons why you guys work well together is because you each fall on the opposite side of one of the human spectrums that delineates personality types. Dibley's foot goes to the accelerator. Mark's foot goes to the brake when in traffic. So it's just the approach to the whole thing.
Huh. That's I've never heard it put that way before, Matt.
Yeah.
Like, I think I get what you're saying, although I don't like, if somebody was like, after I pass away, here lies Mark Willard, he always hit the brakes. I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment, man.
Hey, it's a little bit different from that. If someone is going to cut in front of you, you'll brake to allow it. And Dibs is going to go, nope, that's not happening.
Got it.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly.
That's true.
No
that's
doubt.
True.
No doubt.
That's true. Yeah. In other words, I let everybody walk all over me. I've got no boundaries. That's basically what you're saying. It's true, too.
Yeah, no, that's anyway.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make is you were talking about people ripping on Kerr.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting San Francisco phenomenon. I don't include Oakland because the A's and the Raiders don't fall into this category. I think it all comes from the Niners winning in the 90s and the 80s. In that fans develop this sense of entitlement, this expectation, so that as soon as things don't go the way they think they should go, they immediately start looking for people to blame. I know this is consistent with a lot of fan bases.
Yep.
But here it's really extreme. Like with the Niners, they lost the Super Bowl and it hurt like hell. But I'm reading and hearing all these people saying how Shanahan should go and how he sucks. The Dubs win four titles, and then Kerr does what I think is maybe his best coaching job this year, given the huge number of distractions, young people, the problems with age, blah, 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 and people are ready to toss him under the bus. Now, the exception to this is Gabe Kapler, who I was on the bandwagon to kick out of town because I thought the guy was just more into his Instagram post than he was coaching the team.
By the way, did you see Gabe Kapler and Bob Melvin earlier today in Miami having an on-field conversation? I would have paid $1,000 to be able to stick a microphone in between both of their faces and record what was being said.
You'll find that platooning is a much better route than starting the same guys every day.
So, how is my job? Are you enjoying it? And how many burgers have you had since you got it?
I've noticed your coaching staff is a third of the size of mine. Do you feel lonely in the dugout?
Oh, gosh.
That guy.
Yeah. Matt's right. And I understand that that's just, he's also like, he said it, that's sports. You're not going to stop a fan base from yelling about a coach. I totally get that.
Right.
And I do think that the majority of the Kyle Shanahan conversation last year was more like frustration with specifics rather than we should fire this guy. Like, I really think it was a high-level lunatic fringe that would suggest something like moving on from Kyle Shanahan. Because, yes, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. That's stupid.
Right.
Like, that's legitimately uneducated blather. Now, as far as Steve Kerr is concerned, that one is, it's a different case. I find it to be equally as ridiculous.
Or more so, in my opinion.
But my point is that I do hear people, like, people who I think are, you know, like, they get sleep and they have a brain and all of
right,
those things.
Right.
And they legitimately think that it's time to move on from Steve Kerr. And I do think that that largely is the reason why. It's just the amount of time. We get to a certain point with people. This is what happens in it. Even it happens in relationships where it's just like, it's too long. It's too long. And you won't say it's too long, but you'll say things like, yeah, the voice, it's time for a different voice, or just things started to wear thin or whatever. I think that what has happened with the Warriors is a predictable spot on the journey. Like, this is the backside of the rainbow.
Right.
And it was always coming. So to get here and say that Steve Kerr did something wrong is a head scratcher to me. If you think that the Warriors should move on from Steve Kerr, or that Steve Kerr is at fault for what's happening this year, I would argue you're a bit myopic. It means that you think this team should still be championship level with its core in the mid-30s. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
If you think that Steve Kerr was at fault in, you know, however many games do you think that they would win if you had a different coach? If you had the best coach on the planet, would this be a 58-win team? And now they're the one seed and you're better than OKC and Denver and Minnesota? Or how many wins did Steve Kerr cost you as a Warrior team versus how many wins did he help you get?
Yep.
That to me becomes the interesting way to look at it. And you know that he's the third longest tenured coach in the association. And that's, I think,
part of it.
And it's part of what you're talking about, which is you get to a point where it's fatigue and you look at every other team other than San Antonio and Miami. Those are the two teams with Popovich and Spoelstra. They're the only teams who've had a coach longer. And yet those teams, San Antonio has won, what, four or five with Popovich? And Miami's won a couple with Spoelstra. So you get to that point where you start looking at your coach after 10 years and you think, well, we need to change. Well, you don't need to change there.
Yeah, think about San Antonio right now. I mean, they have the second worst record in the Western Conference. But nobody's expecting it to be any different. I could be wrong. I don't live in San Antonio, Texas, but I wonder, is anybody there like, it's time, we got to move on from this guy, Pop. This is about done. It's not working anymore. They went 22-60, but he's dealing with a completely different expectation because people look at that team right away and go, well, that's not, we're not in the conversation right now.
Right.
We're doing the Wembanyama thing. Well, how would that change your view on Steve Kerr if, A, the Warrior roster had already been turned over, or B, you had what I would argue is a more realistic expectation or thought at the start of the year? Like, coming out of last year, was it reasonable to be like, championship contention? I didn't think they were going to be in championship contention. They won more games than they did last year. Couple things go differently here, there, or otherwise. They absolutely could have been in the top six. And I think that's who they are right now. I think they're a good basketball team. Their record could have been a little bit better. They were only three games away from being in the actual sixth seed.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right where they were last year. But I think that's who they are. Even if they had been the five or the six, it's probably going to be one or two series.
Right.
And then go home. That's probably who they are right now.
Yeah. And if that's not okay, then if you think that changing out the head coach is the solution, then I would tell you that you are woefully wrong as far as like what the fix is. So if you took any other coach on the planet right now, and put them in going into next year, does this team suddenly become a 54-win team?
You said a minute ago, like, if you gave them the best coach on the planet, who is that?
Right.
Is it Spo?
I don't know.
Who's the best coach on the planet?
For basketball, maybe it's Spo. I think it might be Steve Kerr. Honestly, for this team, and every team is different. So if you have this team is replete with veterans. You've got guys who are between, 36 and 39, and you've got a bunch of youngsters. So who is the best guy to coach this team? And I think it's Steve Kerr, somebody who is more able to navigate egos and, also coach the young people, but, be able to coach a team full of superstars. That's not easy.
Eric Spoelstra has veterans.
Yeah.
He has a team that went to the finals last year. Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo.
Yep.
Tyler Hero. Got a good young player in Jaime Jaquez. Your veteran presence players like Kevin Love and Patty Mills. The exact same record as the Warriors.
Right.
In a crappier conference. Well, Spo is amazing. He's got a process that absolutely dwarfs the rest of the league. Why has he got the same record as the Warriors then?
Right. In an easier conference.
In an easier schedule. Yep. I don't know. Like, I don't know. The NBA, largely, I think, in our history of all, baseball, it's a completely different deal. But, like, it feels to me like a coach in the NFL is more important than a coach in the NBA.
It's different.
It's totally different. The NBA is built on who's got the top player or two and then who's been doing it for a while and has cohesion. When you watch the Denver Nuggets, I could argue is Malone the best coach in the NBA? Like when I watch them play, they feel different. Boston feels different. They feel different with the way they operate. I think that's just cohesion. That's just a group of people that knows where the other one is going to be. All of that. Like that's all that is. I think most NBA fans don't even know who the Boston Celtics coach is.
Right, exactly. And he's brand new.
And I'd argue that actually big-time NBA fans would have a hard time if I just rolled through all the teams, okay? All 30 teams.
I'm looking at the list right now.
How many could you name?
Probably half.
If you're lucky.
15?
Yes,
yeah.
If you're lucky.
And I'm even looking at the list right now. And I'm looking at names, and I'm like, oh, gee, I've never heard of him. Like, for example, Orlando Magic, Jamal Mosley.
Sure.
Okay.
That works.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Chris Finch because...
You could be lying to me right now, too, and I wouldn't know.
Right, right. I mean...
I'm not afraid to admit that, even though I'm a sports radio host.
Of course, yes.
Who's the coach of the Charlotte Hornets? I have no clue.
There are only five coaches currently in the association who were hired before 2020.
Okay.
And that's, we mentioned Popovich, Spo, Kerr, it's Michael Malone and Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah.
The other 25 all were hired in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, to the point of Steve Kerr. Okay, get rid of Steve Kerr. It's time. He's got to go. Who are you going to hire? Because you're going to be one of these other 25 teams who hires, Bickerstaff or, Chauncey Billups or Mosley or Darvin Ham, Steve Clifford in Charlotte. Darvin Ham.
Here's how I'd say it.
Right?
I would say it this way. If your thing is, well, the Warriors have underachieved because of Steve Kerr, how many times have you watched an NBA team post up a good record and you, when someone says, boy, why are they so good? And you're like, well, coaching.
Right.
You don't say that. You say Jokic.
Yeah, exactly.
You say Giannis. You say Jason Tatum. You're not looking at the coach. So if the coach is not what makes it good, then I have a hard time believing the coach is what makes it bad. I mean, we could have a very interesting conversation about 46-36. Did Steve Kerr help or hurt this team? And if you think he hurt him, that means that you think this was a 50-win squad that was held back. I don't think that at
right.
all.
No.
I didn't go into this season thinking 50-win squad. I didn't. And they could have. You could argue that they should have.
Right. Right.
But
I don't think they didn't because of Steve Kerr.
Agreed.
I think it's more because of Draymond Green, and it's because of Klay Thompson, and it's because of Andrew Wiggins. I think those are bigger reasons why they didn't win 50 as opposed to Steve Kerr.
It's a players' league.
Right.
It's always been that. It doesn't mean that coaching's not important. It doesn't mean that there aren't good ones and bad ones and everything in between. You know, I take Phil Jackson and go, yeah, that was a great coach. But go ahead. Go ahead and look at his record when he doesn't have Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Shaq, and Kobe.
Right.
Go ahead and take a look at it.
Not great.
Not great. Not great. Greg Popovich, no one would argue he's not a great coach. He went 22-60 this year.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think that being a coach in the NBA is more about managing egos and personalities
no
than
doubt.
It is about, you know, the X's and O's.
And would you argue that Steve Kerr, so let's just spotlight that. Does Steve Kerr do a good job of managing egos?
Yes.
Does a great job at it.
Yeah. And even like if you look at the Jonathan Kuminga situation where his camp came out and said that he's not happy and Steve Kerr's not sold out for him or whatever the quote was, he has found a way to turn that around and make Jonathan Kuminga, again, a productive player.
Yep.
You know, and that was a situation that could have gotten sideways, and it didn't because of Steve Kerr, I think.
Did you guys hear a moment in Steve Kerr's post-game press conference yesterday when he was interrupted by Chris Paul? You guys hear any of
no,
that?
I did not.
Right, I'll play it for you guys.
Okay.
So the question was, he was asked about their road success and their home struggles, and if they can carry their road success into the postseason. Here's what Steve said.
It's actually more surprising that we weren't a good home team, that we were a good road team. I expected to be a good road team. You know, we've got veterans, champions, guys like him right there. Oh, they need me. Sorry. We'll see you later. All right, where were we?
You were in the middle of a good answer. On the road and just how much that your success on the road matters and can translate to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, we should be a good road team. We've got a lot of guys who have won championships and, you know, veteran players like Chris who, you know, are unfazed by the road. And so, yeah, we're very confident heading out for these next couple games, hopefully.
And then there was a follow-up, which is where it kind of relates to what you guys were talking about. Here's the follow-up question.
Steve, just curious, does Chris boss you around like that all the time?
Yes, they all do. All of them. Yeah, it's NBA coaching 2024. You just do what they say.
I tell you what, whether you want to make this about the world in 2024 or not, I would argue that great leadership always involves whether it's employees, the soldiers, whatever. Like, they have to have a voice in the room, and a good leader is one where the employees, whatever, can come in and rib that person or have an idea or make fun. I mean, I'll say this right now, more so than any other point in my entire career, that's true right now. Like, I could come in and you know, I could come in and say whatever I want to Matt. Because we have that, like, we have that.
Yeah.
And you have that. And we've all been around the block a bunch of times. But I don't need to worry about, like, oh, gosh, the boss is here.
Mr. Nahegan?
Take a shower and put on a collared shirt.
Right.
The boss is here. No. That's Matt. I don't call him sir.
Right.
That's Matt. And I bet for this locker room, that's Steve.
Right. Steve. Especially when you have a team like that. And I wonder about OKC with their young squad, if it's a little bit different, dealing with 21, 22, and 23-year-olds. But if you're Steve Kerr and you're coaching the Warriors and you've got CP3, who's been in the league almost, and I should check to see if he was playing when Steve actually was still playing, because it's probably pretty close.
Ooh, I doubt it.
No, but it's close, is my point. Because Chris Paul is in his 18th year, and I would guess that Steve Kerr has been out of the league for...
Well, Steve Kerr was 40 18 years ago. So Steve Kerr's
He's playing, already 60?
He's 58.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. His playing career
his last year was
03. 03. So that's 21 years ago.
Okay.
So you're not wrong. It's like a little bit close, but no, they're right. not playing
And I
the
guess
same
that's
time.
The point is, you know, if you're dealing with guys who are not quite your age, but at least of the same ilk. Yeah, Chris Paul was 05, 06. So there was a 3-year gap without Steve or Chris. 2 years, actually, because Chris started in 05. But when you have a team like this, how is Steve going to come down and be like, I'm the father figure? No, it's, you know, you're one of the group. And that's kind of what we have here.
That's good leadership.
Yeah.
That's good leadership. You have to create a comfortable environment. And I often, like, it's not just, are the players saying nice things about him? Because people are always publicly going to say the right thing about teammates. And I'm sure behind the scenes there are frustrations. And there's no doubt. Like, I feel like, by the way, we have to say this over and over and over again, because you can tell that it doesn't always sink in. I'm sure there have been frustrations with Steve Kerr. Some of them we know about.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Steve has made plenty of mistakes this year. Some of them we know about.
Yeah.
Some of them we don't. Steve has admitted them himself. I am not sitting here saying he's had a perfect season or that he's a perfect coach. But the idea that there is some sort of plan that would work better, the idea that he's holding them back, I laugh at that. It's quite frankly, it's an absurd thought. And you'll simultaneously, the number one thing you'll hear people say is, well, you held the young people back.
Right.
Should have gone to them earlier. And if he had gone to them earlier, then what? That's always my question. Because never in the history of ever has a team been like, you know what, time to hand it over to the young people. And wow, we went crazy up to the 2 seed.
Right.
Soon as we told all the 21-year-olds, all right, you're running the show, bam. Championship.
That's right.
Like, dude, have you watched Victor Wembanyama lately? He is going to be the most unstoppable force in the history of the NBA someday. He won 22 games.
Yeah.
He can barely win a game, but he's going to be absolutely insane. But you can't hand your team over to people who can't drink yet and think that you're going to win more basketball games. Jonathan Kuminga included.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant included. And LeBron James included.
Air ball machine.
Michael Jordan included. You know, you look at any of the all-time greats and you look at the arc of their career. And I was thinking about Giannis Antetokounmpo and, you know, what Milwaukee was when he came in as a 19-year-old. And they were 15-67. Giannis's rookie year. 15-67 for Giannis as a rookie. That's what happens when you're 19.
Yeah. I'll say it this way. If the Warriors had turned everything over to the young players earlier, well, you wouldn't have tomorrow night.
Right. You're Houston.
Right. You would not get tomorrow night. You would not even get tomorrow night if the Warriors had decided, yeah, we got to get all these young people going back.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.